Call it the wrong day a couple of times today. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody had a good Memorial Day and Memorial Day weekend if you had some time off. Hope you were able to enjoy it. And, of course, keep in mind why we were celebrating Memorial Day. But it is the Tuesday drive. It's going to feel more like Monday quite a bit because Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, who's usually with us on Mondays, kindly joining us here in the studio today. We will, as we normally do on Tuesdays, check in with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, and get his thoughts as Auburn, for the second straight year, Brian, the number four national seed in the NCAA baseball tournament.
And that just goes back to a great job by, Butch and his staff of putting the schedule together again. And also a little luck involved there. You know, Auburn, I think it was the top seven teams in the SEC they ended up playing.
Right.
This year.
Yeah, Auburn was the only team in the top eight to play the other seven.
Yeah, so that was a tough schedule, and Auburn came out on top with a number one strength of schedule, number four national ranking, and they're going to host a regional and possibly a super regional if they can win the regional. And, Auburn's going to play Milwaukee at noon Friday.
Yeah.
Which is, I think is good.
Oh, I think it's great. Now, right. It could be warm with the weather we have right now, and this is going to last for a few days. Hopefully it's out of here by this weekend. But I like going ahead and playing that first game. Auburn plays Milwaukee at noon. UCF and NC State will play at 7, and then the games move to 2 and 7. Yeah. For the next couple of days.
Yeah, and after tomorrow, they're set unless you go to Monday, and then ESPN will pick whatever games.
Depending who's still playing to try to advance to a super regional. So yes, we'll talk a good bit about that, I am sure. And let's get started with the voice of the Tigers. Who were you over there yesterday, Brian?
I was there.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to get over. I was saying we had a crowd at the house for Memorial Day and had a great time. But yes, Auburn yesterday, the number four national seed, and the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Andy, how are you doing today?
Guys, I'm doing very well. Good to be with you on this Tuesday. And I don't know about you, Brian, but those to me, though, those Mondays getting together are always really special. But for this Auburn ball club now, four out of the last 5 years, Auburn is hosting a regional. And the only other team in the country that has done that in that span of time is North Carolina. And I don't want it ever not to be a special Monday. And this Auburn ball club certainly, I think, takes some momentum now into the postseason as it gets ready for Milwaukee, UCF, and NC State all to come to town this weekend.
Yeah, no question about it, Andy. And I mean, it's crazy that there were some people, wondering, was Auburn going to be able to hang in the top eight, and then they come out the number four national seed for the second straight year.
It seems like it happens every year, doesn't it?
Yeah,
people people question whether Auburn's going to be a top seed or a good seed in the NCAA tournament, and what Auburn continues to do is play one of the toughest, if not the toughest, schedules in the country. They play in the best conference in the country. And this year, and last year, for that matter, closed the season very, very strong, the second half of the season. What makes it even more impressive was what Auburn did in the second half by winning series against Oklahoma and Kentucky and then going on the road to win those back-to-back weekends at Texas A&M and Mississippi State. And Florida. So just what this team has done really impresses me. But now, I mean, the slate is clean. Now you get ready for the postseason. And we know what can happen. We know what happened in the 23 season and how tough that was. But I think this Auburn team is certainly equipped for a deep, deep postseason run this year.
Yeah, Andy, and one of the obvious reasons that you can say that is the depth there of the pitching staff, which was again spectacular. I thought in the SEC tournament. I mean, my goodness, Auburn gives up 3 runs in 3 games, even though they get beaten. But I mean, to allow 3 runs in 3 games in the SEC tournament, that is phenomenal.
and to do it with six pitchers.
Yes, that's right. Two a game.
It was two pitchers in every game. And we know the starters of, you know, of Petrovic and Alvarez and Marciano. But to me, what forms that depth, obviously, is what Jackson Sanders has done. And of all the pitchers, he was the only one named to an All-SEC.
Right.
But also what L.J. Cormier has done. And I was really impressed with what Hetzler did in the ball game, even though he gave up a couple of runs, what Hetzler did in the game against Arkansas. But listen, you have six pitchers of that, and we've not even talked about Abe Chancellor and Jet Johnson, guys like that at this point, and Griffin Graves.
Right.
We've talked about this before, Brian and Bill and Dan. I mean, I'm not sure Dan is there.
Dan's around somewhere.
Okay. but I don't remember an Auburn team. And listen, I wasn't around for that team in the mid-70s with Joe Beckwith and Tom Leach, or obviously back in the 60s with QB Lowe.
I think this one's deeper, Andy. I really do.
That's it. I don't remember an Auburn team that is as deep as this pitching staff is going into the postseason. Listen, that is not a guarantee for success. But boy, it is a step in the right direction when you have a pitching staff as deep as this one is getting ready for the postseason now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're hoping that you're not gonna drop a game here in the regional. But if you do, that's where Auburn has such an advantage. If that's the case, you hope that they play at noon on Friday and then at 7 o'clock Saturday and Sunday, and then are preparing to host the Super Regional the following week.
Well, and you know, the Auburn matches up with the Nebraska regional, which I think is one of the toughest regionals out there. With Nebraska, obviously, is the number one seed, but Arizona State and Ole Miss,
right,
going to Lincoln, that will be a terrific regional. And whomever comes out of this Auburn one will have it very, very tough in the Super Regional, to be sure. But this is such a fun time of the year. Certainly it is for me. To get ready. I cannot wait to get to the ballpark and get ready for this series and starting to do a little bit of a dive on this Milwaukee ball club that Auburn will get on Friday. It's a team that has won 8 straight games, has not lost since May 9th, and won 8 straight games just to get to 25-31 on the season. But that included sweeping the Horizon League tournament and beating perennial power Wright State twice, including a walk-off homer from Joey Spence in the championship game last weekend. His fourth home run of the year, guy batting .229,
wow.
But it was a two-run shot over the boards and right to win it for Milwaukee. So the Panthers come to town, and that's the first game that Auburn gets on Friday.
Andy, obviously another banner year for the Southeastern Conference. 5 of the 8 national seeds are SEC teams, and you've got 7 teams hosting. 12 teams. There was question as to whether 11 or 12 would make it, but once again, the SEC showing that it is the best team in yet another, the best conference in yet another sport.
Well, just take a look at the teams that have won the World Series of late. They're all SEC teams. LSU twice, and Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and you keep going back to Vanderbilt. I think the biggest surprise is some of those teams that are not in the tournament
right.
This year. And we're talking about national champions, including last year's national champion in LSU. And you've got a Vanderbilt team that is not in the NCAA tournament this year. I certainly can understand how the folks in Macon, Georgia feel today after being, yeah. Winning 44 games, winning their regular season championship, but not winning their tournament championship. And I'm sure they've got to be wondering, how in the world are we not in the NCAA tournament? But you just take a look at what this league is year in and year out. And it's the best in college baseball. That's it. I mean, period. And it was again this year. And it was a little bit of a change from years past. I mean, there were some teams in there teams that are not in there that have been perennial national championship contenders, certainly LSU and Vanderbilt. But my guess is that those teams will be loaded for bear when next season comes around. But
yeah.
This Auburn team, I think, is as strong as it's been in quite some time, and it all begins on Friday at noon. Auburn and Milwaukee will take the air at 11:45 over on Wings 94.3 with Game 1. That second game will be a dandy between UCF and NC State. UCF is a perennial NCAA tournament team, although back in the tournament after missing a year ago. And North Carolina State, of course, with Elliott Avant, who the long time, over 30 years, their all-time winningest coach, who's retiring after this season. So you know that North Carolina State will be very motivated as it comes to town for a second straight year in the NCAA regional at Auburn.
Yeah, that's right. Some familiarity there. I mean, you're talking about how some things can change. If I'm not mistaken, half the field from Omaha last year isn't in the tournament.
Right.
That's wild.
That is crazy.
Amazing. It is amazing, but, you know, I wonder if part of that is with the new – listen, I mean, for many years, Auburn was one of those teams that was fighting against other teams without a Hope Scholarship and without, you know, those programs in those states that basically – you could offer a full scholarship to a player if they qualified academically. And I think now it's kind of even the playing field, that Auburn can have a full roster, have full scholarships. And I think that makes a difference. I think Alabama would say the exact same thing. It's more of an even playing field. And guys, it's not just, I don't think it's just in basketball or in baseball. I think we're seeing that a little bit more in other sports, where the NIL money comes in, and now some of these rosters are evening out. And some of these other schools can, if they decide to, spend some money of their NIL allotment and get some players that perhaps they wouldn't have been able to get before. I think we're starting to see that in other sports, but I think we're definitely seeing it in baseball. And I think Auburn has taken full advantage of that.
And can't wait again. Boy, we hope the weather cooperates, because what an atmosphere it was last year, and I expect it to be at least to that level this year.
Well, a year ago, we saw the largest crowd in Auburn history. That one of those Coastal Carolina games back on June 6th of last year was 7,891. That set an Auburn record for a single game at Plainsman Park, and they've added some chairback seats along the first baseline, above the Yeti Yard, and out beyond the back 40 as well. So they've added some temporary seating at Plainsman Park. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see crowds of over 8,000 on hand for this weekend coming up. But hopefully the weather does cooperate, but it's that time of the year that we're in. But and, you know, Auburn wanted – from what I'm told, Auburn wanted to play the 5 o'clock game on Friday, but we're told by ESPN that Auburn will play the noon game. And so that's where Auburn is. I expect it will be a great crowd on hand for Friday. And as you mentioned, Bill, hopefully that Auburn team beats Milwaukee come Friday, and Auburn's playing at 7 o'clock on Saturday. And you know, I hope for every game it is an enormous Auburn crowd on hand. We have seen great crowds throughout this season. Auburn right now is almost at 180,500 fans through the gates this year. Auburn set a school record a year ago with almost 202,000 fans through the stands, and now they have an opportunity in this postseason to try and get above 200,000 fans at Plainsman Park again this season.
Yeah, I think there's a great opportunity. I mean, if Auburn plays three games, they're going to go ahead and top that, I think pretty easily, Andy. The fact that it is here at home is huge, and really looking forward to the atmosphere. And personally, look, selfishly, I'm glad it's at noon, because that way I get to go to the game Friday, and then we can talk about it. We'll do a 2-hour post game or something. So that'll
be great. That's great. Yeah, and I know that for some folks that noon game means that
it's going to be tough.
And I think school is out now across, so I mean, kids can come to the ballpark and be a part of all the activities that will include the Plainsman Plaza. That's going to be open for every game, so don't plan to drive down Donahue for the NCAA tournament coming up. That will be closed off for the Plainsman Plaza throughout the weekend, and hopefully we're talking about this again next week when the Super Region rolls around as well.
No question. I mean, obviously that is the biggest topic here locally, but that's not the only thing going on with Auburn Athletics. Auburn's got another group playing for a national championship, and another team trying to qualify more athletes for the track and field nationals.
Yeah, NCAA preliminaries, I believe, starts this week up in Lexington, Kentucky. It will, I think, it's a 4 or 5 day event. So that then is purely qualifying for the nationals out in Eugene, Oregon. Auburn, I think, has well over almost 36 student athletes, both men and women, that will be attempting to qualify for Eugene, Oregon, as especially the Auburn men make another run at an NCAA title. And as you mentioned, Auburn men's golf opens play on Friday in the NCAA championships out at La Costa on the West Coast. Our congratulations certainly to Jackson Coivin, who becomes just the third player ever to win multiple Hogan Awards, which is the Heisman for men's golf. He joins John Rahm and Ludvig Åberg as the only two that have, only three now, that have won multiple Hogan Awards. He's Auburn's all-time leading winner and has won three straight SEC championships. I know his sight not only set on an NCAA men's team championship, but I think he wants to win the individual crown out there as well. He came within a stroke of doing that 2 years ago when Auburn won the NCAAs. But Auburn will begin play Friday morning or Friday afternoon, I think. Auburn plays in the afternoon and then plays Saturday morning in the second round. It's stroke play, and then there's a cut, and then they get ready for match play out in La Costa. And this Auburn team, the number one overall seed going into the NCAA tournament, you got to put it together. Once you get there, the field will be very, very strong. But, boy, this is a veteran Auburn team. There are, I think, two freshmen on this team that will be seeing La Costa for the first time. The three others are veterans that have played up to 2 years at La Costa as well. But, yeah, that's a big weekend. It starts on Friday out at Costa for the NCAA Men's Golf Championship.
Yeah, just hope that hope Jackson's over whatever little illness he had in Athens, and is it you know, if he's in peak health, you know, he and Auburn have a great shot.
Absolutely, they do. They have to be among the favorites, if not the favorite, to win the national championship. But listen, as good as Auburn has been all season long, and this has been a record-setting year for this Auburn team, you have to put it together, and I guess you have to get some breaks along the way. They certainly did when they won it 2 years ago and claimed their first ever national championship, and they'll need to, they'll need those breaks along with outstanding play starting Friday afternoon out at La Costa on the West Coast.
Andy, let us know everything going on with the Auburn Sports Network. I know you've got a really interesting interview with Harding Harper this week.
Yeah, Harding Harper III, Auburn's executive director of recruiting, was in the studio for the Talking Tigers podcast. That is airing this week over on War Eagle Plus. You can listen to it as well in audio form anywhere that you can download and listen to podcasts. He grew up in Birmingham. He played his high school football at Carver of Montgomery, then went on as a linebacker to play at Vanderbilt, has worked at Vanderbilt, has worked in Alabama, has worked at Houston, but met up for the first time with the Alex Golish staff at USF. And then when Coach Golish made the move to Auburn, along with several of the staff members there, he made the move back to Alabama as well. So it's an interesting, and just how they have it structured in the recruiting. And, you know, from all things considered, it sounds like they are doing very well as far as the recruiting for the 27 class is concerned. So that's the podcast this week. On Monday, a sit down with Auburn women's tennis coach Jordan Szabo, who in 2 years has helped transform Auburn women's tennis into a national power. A year ago was its best year ever, and this year surpassed it with an SEC championship, an SEC tournament championship, a regional championship, hosted its first ever super regional, won that, and then, of course, went three rounds deep at the NCAA championships, losing in the title match to Texas A&M. And they're already obviously working on the 26-27 team, they'll be losing some key members from this team. But from all indications, looks like they are reloading for the 26-27 season. He's a fascinating guy. When I talk to some of these coaches, they kind of remind me of each other. Jordan Szabo does not lack for confidence. Mm-hmm. And certainly his team has played like that. He reminds me a little bit of a Nick Kleinerd when he is building that Auburn men's golf team. Their personalities although they don't talk anything alike because, of course, Jordan's from Australia. But their personalities remind me of each other. And we know what Nick has done with this Auburn men's golf program. And in 2 years, we know what Jordan Szabo has done with this Auburn women's team. So that's the next week or so, week and a half or so of the Talking Tigers podcast. And we'll be continuing to work on that through the rest of through the summer months as we gear up for football coming up very, very soon.
And 11:45 is the airtime Friday, right?
Right. 11:45 over on Wings 94.3. We'll be on 15 minutes prior to a first pitch all weekend long as the Auburn Tigers look for another regional championship and are hoping to host that super regional next weekend.
Can't wait.
All right, Andy, looking forward to it. See you at the ballpark on Friday. Thanks again for joining us.
Guys, have a great day. War Eagle!
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here at the outset of the Tuesday drive. It's Tuesday, but Brian Matthews is here in the studio with us.
Yeah, very excited to see B-Matt, even though glad that you could be flexible and move things around. We took Memorial Day off.
That's right. It was a good day, and glad to be here. Talk a little Auburn baseball, of course, and we can do some musings here later on.
And got musings. There's some recruiting news, too, football recruiting news.
Yes,
so
is.
A lot we can talk about. And we've got some something special for you that we'll tell you about when we come back here on the Monday edition. I knew I'd say it. The Tuesday edition of The Drive.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. That's right. It is Tuesday. It feels like Monday because, of course, we weren't on the air yesterday. But we've got the regular Monday crew here in the studio. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, and Drew is at the controls. But something different that we're going to be doing this week for the rest of the week. Of course, we've got something very special coming up. Look, it's great. It's tremendous, and it's a good boon for the local economy to have a regional coming to town this week. And if Auburn wins, a super regional next week. How about right after that? Auburn has, for the first time at Jordan-Hare Stadium, yes, it's a different kind of football at Jordan-Hare Stadium, one Brian is a big, big fan of, and that, of course, is soccer.
Yes.
And we've got Argentina. You can't get any bigger than that.
No, you can't.
And Iceland in a match just a week before the World Cup gets started.
Yeah, and, Messi had a little bit of injury scare the other day, but the report's coming out after that where he's fine. It was just a muscle fatigue, I think was the word they used or the phrase they used. So he should be good to go if they want to use them. I was hoping to be there, but the credential system is a little
ridiculous.
Bit,
I was telling Steve that a little while ago.
Yeah. So it's not going to happen for
me. No, I mean, okay. Really. I mean, the hoops and things that you had to do to get a credential just made it not feasible. So.
I may just go downtown, though, just to soak up some atmosphere. We'll see.
We'll talk about that.
The thought that if Auburn advances out of the regional, you could have the super regional leading right into Tuesday night
because it could go it could go to Monday.
And I believe some super regionals they move them from Saturday Monday. Some of them do. I think
some go Friday through Sundays. Right. Others do go Saturday through Monday.
Yes,
what I mean. It could be you could be playing on Monday in a if necessary game and that in the. Wrap up game there, and then turn around the next day.
But
the number of people in town will be mind boggling.
Yeah. And even if there's that day between, that Monday will still be. I mean, you'll have the soccer fans starting to get to town.
You're not kidding.
Sounds like all systems go for Messi, right? There was an injury scare a couple of weeks ago, but it sounds like he's going to be he's going to get the okay. Might be cautious with him in the games leading up to the World Cup, but I would certainly expect him to be in the house, and a lot of teams use that final game before the World Cup as a dress rehearsal where you're going to have your starting lineup, play at least to start the game. And I know you can substitute a couple people out Brian. I'm learning about the game.
Yeah.
As we, you know, as
I think it's five substitutions.
So yeah, no. So they'll be
able, maybe more in a friendly.
And they, so I think teams could be, maybe teams will be cautious with who they start, but I would expect to see Messi in the house and in uniform and active for Argentina, Iceland, and yeah, really really exciting, Bill, that we've got.
We have tickets.
Oh boy.
We will be giving away a pair of tickets each day.
You want to say sometime in the 5 o'clock hour? Do you want to?
We can do that. I thought just for today, we'll just let anybody who wants, we'll draw today.
Okay, all right.
But yes, this is a warning to you what we will do this week. yes, we will we will at some point during the show just say, you know, we're giving away a pair of tickets, and we'll take maybe not, you know, an early caller.
Okay.
We won't try to burn the phone lines down because I was actually part of a when I was working in Montgomery, we did that, and I forgot what show it was, but it was a huge show. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Don Hart decided it was a 92. So he decided to take the 92nd call. And the phone lines, I mean, we shut the phone lines down, had to get the phone company to come out because it just overloaded the whole system, and we didn't have any phones. We couldn't take any calls at all, which Jim and I loved the next day on our show.
You used to actually be able to, like, overload switchboards,
yes,
right?
That's
with the actual, you know, when switches would actually, like, when they would actually switch and there'd be a little spark, like sometimes, yeah. I've heard stories about things that could overload switchboards.
We don't want to put Drew or you know, if Drew's not here, whoever is on the board to too much trouble of having to take, like, the, you know, the something teeth caller or something like that. But yes, today, if you want to get into a drawing for a pair of tickets to the Argentina-Iceland match on Tuesday night, the 9th of June, over at Jordan-Hare Stadium, just call in 334-321-1390. That's what we will do today. Tell you what we will do, since we're at the bottom of the hour, we'll go ahead and get caught back up. Love for you to join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews here in the studio today. Love for you to join us. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Obviously, we'll talk a good bit more baseball. Brian was up in Hoover for the for Auburn's appearance there in the SEC tournament. I mentioned it a while ago when we were talking with Andy, Brian. I mean, again, outstanding pitching for Auburn to allow just three runs, including getting a shutout there in its three games in Hoover. As, again, the depth of Auburn's pitching just continues to show how, you know, how good this pitching staff really is.
It's been incredible. And I think sometimes we tend to, just because Auburn's not scoring as many runs as you'd like them to, is kind of roll on. It's great pitching, but it's really, really great pitching. I mean, it is
great pitching. And the hitting is, I mean, the thing is, Auburn is still, I mean, I think they're fourth or fifth in the league in batting.
Right.
The power numbers haven't been there all year, although they've gotten better down the stretch. But look, when you're facing really good pitching at times, you're not going to have big high-scoring ball games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's one of the things, look, you're going to face it. You wonder, I mean, I don't know much about, as Andy was saying, I don't know anything about Milwaukee's baseball program, except what he was saying.
They've got like a 70 ERA, so they're not great pitching, but they've got more extra base hits, a bunch of stolen bases, compared to Auburn, so they're going to swing the bats. So, you know,
I love that matchup though. That's usually a pretty good matchup, because Auburn has held most teams down.
They have, even we're talking like all American type teams.
A&M's
incredible lineup, or what they did against Arkansas or Georgia,
right?
2-1. Yeah. So yes, they can absolutely go head-to-head against anybody. And really, the lineup, they just need to get hot. That's right. This is the time. Just get a couple of guys
still
hot, get going,
still looking to find to fill that DH spot. And, you know, try to find somebody that could go off for a short period.
Be very
of time.
Helpful. Yes,
I missed some of the conversation with Andy. Mm-hmm. I know there's been a lot of grumbling about Auburn not playing at night on Friday.
Yes.
And some of the conversation about that. We were talking during the commercial. Like my guess would be that ESPN, because like the Auburn Milwaukee game isn't on television at all. It's on ESPN Plus, unless I think that's right.
I think you're right.
It's just on the Plus. So if it were a TV decision, it would need to be a TV decision seemingly based around the other game, which is on national television, UCF and NC State at 5 o'clock. I think ESPNU is going to have that game. So my guess would be that the decision was made at the ESPN level that game was the more attractive game for national television. Yeah. I guess because
that would make sense.
Because it's two teams, even though Auburn
nothing against Auburn. I mean, yeah. It's more both names.
Yeah, it's the fact that, yeah, even though Auburn's the number four team overall, it's the idea that you could show a game featuring an ACC team and a Big 12 team. It's unfortunate because I think Auburn, like, if the weather cooperates, the crowd Auburn could have had at 6 o'clock on Friday would have been
5 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm. And they could still have a really big crowd at noon on Friday.
The good thing is it's Friday, and as Andy said, school's out.
Yep.
I mean, kids can be there, and the other thing is there's some extra seating that's being put in. Yeah. And tickets went on sale yesterday afternoon.
And, you know, there may be people that are supposed to work, and maybe they get a cough on Thursday
right.
and start feeling a little lightheaded.
Oh, you think people might get NCAA tournament-itis coming through March?
I've heard there's something going around town, so
there wasn't,
be careful out there.
Because we didn't have too severe of a March this year in town, so maybe a lot of people were at work.
All this rain,
I think a lot of people were at work the first day of the NCAA tournament here in Auburn. Maybe that Friday. But yeah, it's unfortunate because I think folks would have, like, that Friday night scene potentially would have been off the charts. If Auburn wins, you do get that on Saturday. They play at night on
Sunday is a night game also.
The winning teams advance to Saturday night, again, assuming weather cooperates.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock for Saturday and Sunday.
If Auburn wins that first game, that 7 o'clock atmosphere Saturday night for the winner of NC State UCF, like that'll be a hot ticket, and they will need the extra seating I suspect for that game.
Yeah, Brian, just thoughts on the tournament overall. I mean, five of the top eight national seeds are SEC teams, seven of the top 16, and 12 SEC teams. I mean, you've got I think some really interesting matchups. What? First of all, your feeling on the Auburn regional, just the quality of the teams in it.
I think it's a favorable regional for Auburn. That doesn't mean they're going to win it. I think I saw a stat where six out of 16 teams last year did not advance out of the regional, the number one seeds.
Right.
So there is no guarantee that Auburn is going to. They have to play well, but I do think it's a favorable matchup. I don't. There's not like a number one starter that scares the what out of me that sometimes happens at a team will throw that first day and just shut you down.
And all of a sudden you're in the loser's bracket then the pressure's really on.
And then the thing about going in the loser's bracket, if it happens to Auburn's pitching staff is so deep that they can certainly handle having to play an extra game, if they need to on Monday or whatever. So I think this team is built well to play here. I think the fans are going to turn out. I think they will turn out Friday at noon. I think I'm going to be a little surprised by how many people show up, in my opinion. So
the downside of having an ace that's a substantial upgrade over everyone else in your rotation is that when you get into this kind of format, you have to win his game.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with Auburn, while they've had several players produce at a really high level in SEC play this year, Petro,
Jake, and
Alvarez was up and down in conference play, had pitched well of late. Jackson was outstanding in SEC play, made the all-conference team accordingly. But the fact that I don't think there's one guy where it's like, oh, man, you have to win. Now, look, if you lose the first one,
then everybody else has to win.
Yeah. Those guys have to win. But I don't think it's a situation where I think there are teams in this draw where it's like, you're in huge trouble if that ace doesn't go for you, if you lose that first game, if you have to fight from the bottom. Auburn doesn't want to have to fight from the bottom. They could, because I think they feel good about every pitcher they can throw in this tournament. And you love seeing Alvarez pitch well the last time you saw him, because that was, I think, something.
Yeah.
If any of those
struggled for a couple of times before the combined shutout the
other day. If there was anyone that you wanted to see pick up a little bit of momentum down the stretch and in Hoover, I mean, not who knows if it carries over, but Alvarez was – he was untouchable in that start, and he's done that at times this year. Would love to see that when they call on him this weekend.
Yeah, and then on the other side, Auburn, the winner of the Auburn Regional matched with the Nebraska Regional.
Which is a really good regional.
That is a tough one. Yeah. Yes, indeed. I mean, Ole Miss is the 3 seed, Arizona State,
the
2 seed, and that Nebraska Regional. Nebraska, a team that's, you know, has you know, not even been a factor at all in college baseball, and they had an outstanding year. And
they were here at Auburn, you know, back in, I guess, was it March? February, March? March?
Was it here or was it in Texas?
I thought they came here for a 3-game series, but am I remembering that wrong?
Maybe. I don't know. I know they played earlier. You're right. But no, it was here. You're right.
It was
February 27th through March 1st. Yeah. Auburn took 2 out of 3, lost game 1.
Yeah, and there were people like, losing to Nebraska, this is terrible. Yeah.
And then they went 15-4, 12-3.
And also remember the other team that was like, oh, it's probably the end of baseball for Auburn to have been blanked by Cincinnati, who's in the tournament as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the field and look at Auburn's schedule, and you'll see why Auburn's got the number one strength of schedule in the nation.
Yes, absolutely.
Where did Jack State end up in the
They're the third seed.
They're in the Hattiesburg.
Yes.
They're going
to
Hattiesburg.
That's another great exciting.
Yeah.
And shout out to the Troy Trojans.
How about
too.
That?
Last team in. They had a
the
roller.
Most losses by any at large team, but again, they played a really, really difficult schedule.
Top 10 strength of schedule overall, because they really, I mean, I think Troy was told last year, like, it was impressive what you did in Sunbelt play, but they wanted to see Troy win more quad 1, quad 2 games. Troy went out and scheduled harder this year, and even though the win-loss record overall, I think they're 32 or 33 and 29.
Yeah, 32 and 29, I think.
But you know, in a 5-belt, in a 5-bid Sunbelt, I think that's great for the league that Troy did enough and earned a spot. I mean,
yeah, five teams from the state with Auburn, Alabama, Troy, Jack State, and Alabama State, all making the field of 64.
And Troy is going to Gainesville, Florida, Miami. That's a pretty
that's tough.
That'll be a good, and they've also got Ryder there. That should be a good one. Like the Chapel Hill one, North Carolina, Tennessee, VCU, East Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Tallahassee's got Coastal Carolina, right?
So,
that'll be a pretty good matchup.
Yes, very, very exciting matchup. Yes, absolutely.
This is a great weekend. Like, I know that the first weekend of the NCAA tournament men's basketball is celebrated as this, you know, it's a sports holiday. Right. The first week, like, once you get into regional play, especially Friday, like it is good baseball all day long, and it is teams
really
fighting
is.
For their lives, and these are like the super regional rounds fun. Omaha's a blast.
Yeah, but there's something the first round. You're right, because there will be some teams you've never heard of that if they do have that guy that, like Brian was saying, if they've got that pitcher that can stymie, you know, one of the big names, then all of a sudden they throw it into a real uproar. I mean,
Who was it a couple of years? Was it Princeton that came to Auburn in the regional and you know, pitched Columbia? It was one of the Ivies that came down here and put Auburn immediately on their back foot.
Yeah, it was an Ivy League team.
I think it was 24 regional. We'll look that up.
It was
I think I had it right. I think it was Princeton, wasn't it?
Right. It was Penn.
Yeah. Oh, it was Penn. Yeah, that's right. It was Penn. Okay. Yep. That's right.
I think that Penn team had 6 or 7 of their players end up transferring a couple. I think one or
oh,
two.
Oh, yeah. They'd already announced when they came in. That's right. Yeah. That was the deal. They'd already, I mean, they'd already announced where they were transferring after they got through.
That was a tough loss for Auburn. The difference, I think, with Auburn the last couple regionals and this year is just the pitching. Mm-hmm. They've been so, so good. They remind me a little bit of the Coastal Carolina team with their pitching. The one thing that Coastal Carolina team did really, really well is they found a way to manufacture runs. And against Auburn especially, they were really good, you know, in clutch situations, 2 outs, runners on second, that type of thing. So Auburn can do that too. They've had moments during the season, or lots of moments during the season, where they've done that. It's just been a little bit inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. That was the 2023 Auburn Regional, when Auburn was the one – Southern Miss was the 2, Samford was the 3, Penn was the 4. Samford and Penn both won on the first day of the regional. Penn beat Auburn in extra innings, and then Southern Miss eliminated Auburn the next day, and Southern Miss ended up going and winning the winning the whole regional.
And it was, I think it was a really tight game between Southern Miss and Penn. I don't know if they had to play 2 or not. I can't remember, but yeah, it was really competitive for those guys, not for Auburn.
Yep. So hopefully the weather cooperates. Looks like we're going to get a good bit of rain here over the next couple of days, but yeah, hopefully by the weekend, things clear up a bit.
I mean, you have to, if you lose opening day in a regional, you got to win 4.
Yes.
You got to win 4 in a row without.
Yeah. If you don't lose 3, get you there. If you lose, you've got to have 4 wins.
You got to win 4 in a row. I mean, it's a tall order,
that's 5 total games, right?
Right.
If you're going to lose your back immediately, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Southern Miss had to do in Auburn back in 23. They lost the opening or lost the opener, won the next 4 to crawl out of it. That is a. Ooh, that's
a big ask.
And I think that tells you that illustrates the stakes of that first game too. Like, and you don't want to have to give yourself that extra game you have to play and
see Auburn and
you can't lose.
And that's where Auburn is in the situation where, I mean, they're just going to stick with the rotation, I'm sure.
Yes.
But a lot of teams will not. I mean, if you're the number one seed and you feel like, well, we can win this ball game and save our best guy, you could do that. You take a big chance when you do that because then you're in a must-win situation if you lose. But that's where Auburn has that
very similar 3.
Would you be tempted at all to tinker with it, or do you think it's very obvious who should start?
I think it's Marciano, Alvarez, and Petrovic.
Yeah, with then, Jackson ready.
And if Auburn had gone to a fourth game, a championship game in Hoover, they're going to start Griffin Graves most likely. Mm-hmm. They would have had Abe Chancellor. They would have had Coolidge, and they would have had Jackson Sanders coming back after
Jackson pitched on the open. Yep.
I wonder how careful you are with Jackson's usage in this format, or if he's ready to step in at a moment's notice on Friday or Saturday to help you win a game, because you'd be tempted to hold him for – like a game 4 starter. You're going to play 4 of these things. In theory you're going to need to advance out of the region, you're going to need to play at least 4 games.
You can play 3.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can play 3. You're right.
If you don't lose, you're done in 3.
But I guess with Jackson, you could consider like do you bring him in or save him as the potential starter for a fourth game if necessary.
I don't think I think Butch probably plays it the way he has, and it depends on how Jake's going Friday.
And the thing about Friday is, if Auburn gets the bats going against a pitching staff that has not been a 7-something team ERA, right? There's a possibility that maybe Jake only has to go 7 innings, or maybe there's such a lead that you don't have to bring in Jackson in that game. And maybe that pushes back your top 3 relievers to Saturday, Sunday, and then you've got a lot more, ways you can work things. So I think it just depends on how that first game goes.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number 1. Again, if you want to get into a drawing for a pair of tickets to the Argentina-Iceland match on June 9th, give us a call. But you can talk to us on the air. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at
We are done with hour number 1 here on this Tuesday edition of The Drive. Rain still pretty steady. We've needed it. There's no question about that. But we've definitely got it.
Flood watch, I believe.
Yeah. We've gone from drought watch to flood watch. We had both at the same time for a while last week.
Yeah, we did.
So you never know. But we've got another hour to go. Brian Matthews, MauburnSports.com with Bill and Dan. Drew at the controls. Come on in and join us for hour number 2.
Is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Once again, hope everybody had a had a great Memorial Day and Memorial Day weekend, and again, you know, remembered why we're you know, celebrating that time. But hopefully, folks did have some time to, you know, to spend. The weather cooperated for the most part. We didn't really get any rain yesterday until the afternoon. Gave us plenty of time to have everybody over and. Had some neighborhood kids come over and play with the little kids, so we had a great time. It was an interesting weekend. All right, yesterday morning, the entire field of the NCAA baseball tournament announced Auburn for the second consecutive year, the number 4 national seed. They will open up the Auburn Regional at noon on Friday as they host Milwaukee, the Panthers, on Friday. At noon. We talked about that a good bit in hour number one. We'll talk some more about that and some other things. There's some football recruiting news we'll get to. We'll have Brian Matthews, who's with us here usually on Mondays, but since we didn't do a show on Monday, we convinced Brian to come in and spend some time with us here on this Tuesday. So we'll look back at his Monday musings, because how can we go a week without having the musings from Brian on?
This is an easy one. Y'all get this one.
Oh, okay, good. Away. We'll do that in just a little while, but your phone calls come first, 334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and let's get to it. And John gets us started. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Good Tuesday afternoon to y'all. Had a comment on baseball and then a question on baseball for you.
All right.
And my comment was, you know, looking at these, at kind of the roster and roster construction, what you'd want to have, yet the teams that scare me in this tournament, or the team I would want to be in this tournament, is a team like Auburn's constructed now, where there's a deep staff. Mm-hmm. The teams that scare you for maybe a 1-4 upset or something like that would be kind of the teams, I think Santa Cruz is like this, which is an ace pitcher that Texas is probably going to have to deal with. But, whenever they throw them. But I'm really, I feel a lot more confident with Auburn's staff than I did maybe the Casey Mize team, where you have one good starter and the rest. And this rotation is so deep. And then my question was, as for the Friday game, it seems like Auburn has taken that 12 o'clock start time. Is that weather, or, like, what are the advantages to playing that game at 12 and not 6? And I'll listen. Thank you guys for all you did.
Appreciate it, John.
ESPN, Auburn requested the late game on Friday. ESPN decided to put them in that noon spot so they can show other games late. So that was not Auburn's decision. But it does have advantages, and that gives you more rest going into Saturday's games.
Yeah, you've got a little longer time to scout. I mean, Auburn would have preferred crowd-wise and everything to have that big advantage and play that 5 o'clock game. But Dan's absolutely right. He talked about it in the first hour, and I can understand ESPN, feeling like you're going to draw a bigger audience when you've got a Big 12 and an ACC team playing, mm-hmm. as opposed to, yes, Auburn's the number 4 national seed, but, there's very little that anyone knows about Milwaukee baseball.
I believe there's even a line in the press release from Auburn explaining that the broadcast decision was, like, the game times were set by ESPN. Let me see if I can find what I'm talking about here. It's the anyways, but there's a line in the maybe it's in the fourth regional it's got to be because of a desire by ESPN to show the NC State UCF game on national television at 5 o'clock, because I think if it were up to Auburn would have, for the reasons you outlined, Bill, Auburn would have wanted that game at the afternoon, the second game of the Friday, you know, for to have the best crowd possible. Good stuff.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. That number is also the number to call today. We're going to do it for the rest of the week, but today we're giving everyone the opportunity to get into a drawing for a pair of tickets to the Argentina-Iceland match on Tuesday, 2 weeks from tonight, as a matter of fact. 7:30 on June 9th over at Jordan Hare Stadium,
and we'll do another draw sometime this week. We may do another Fast Fingers switchboard tester.
We're not going to do it the same every day. We may repeat ourselves at different times. Just thought today we'd give everybody a shot.
We don't have any soccer trivia, or else we'd
with Brian here with us, we could have done that, but. Yeah.
But no, so it is exciting stuff. You know, in just a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from today.
That's right. Yep. Two weeks from tonight.
2 weeks from tonight. Auburn hosting Argentina and Iceland in the road to 26. Just before North America hosts the World Cup this summer, it's all signs point to it being a very, very busy couple of days in Auburn, especially if Auburn can advance to Super Regionals to host baseball that weekend, and then turn around and have this enormous soccer event with people coming from all over the country and all over the world. You know, Brian, for folks who maybe don't follow the sport as closely as you do, like, Messi is a Michael Jordan-esque figure, like, probably the most famous team sport athlete on the planet. Yes. Right, like
maybe all time.
I mean, and is in that conversation, like of the last like 50 years, in that kind of conversation, and the thought that someone like that
is coming here,
is coming to play at Jordan Hare Stadium is just tremendously exciting.
You're seeing maybe the best footballer or soccer player here of all time, and he will be here. Long time Barcelona standout, played some with PSG. The top French program, Barcelona, Real Madrid are the two top Spanish teams. And then he's been playing for Miami here in the U.S. for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I think, maybe longer. But, yes, and he's still an exciting player to watch. I mean, he's scoring a bunch of goals for Miami. So he's still, you know, I'm not saying Miami is the same as, you know, La Liga or whatever, but still a very exciting player to watch. And it'll be fun, not just to see him, but to see the entire Argentina squad, which they're the defending World Cup champs, are always going to be a contender, always have great players from Argentina, and just the atmosphere that place could become because of these teams and their fans.
I can't wait. It's going to be so much different.
Yeah.
Than anything. I mean, it's not going to be your normal football tailgating. And as we were saying a while ago, I mean, there will be more folks coming in town, I think, than probably ever come in for any one event. Yeah. And they'll need to be here. They'll probably need to be here, you know, overnight, at least a night, probably a couple of nights. What a huge economic boon this is going to be for this area.
I know there's been concerns about the World Cup and, you know, how the attendance and the ticket sales are going, but I still think this is going to be a big event.
There are not a lot of tickets left.
Yeah, exactly.
I looked today, and there are fewer than 10,000 tickets left. They've sold right at 80,000 now.
And I didn't do like the most scientific study, but I checked into hotel availability on the Monday, Tuesday of the game, June 8th, June 9th in Auburn. If you don't have a place to stay in Auburn and you plan on coming here for those couple of days, you probably need to be working on that, because it does seem like it could be a huge boon for local hotels and everyone.
Oh, eating establishments.
Everyone associated. Yeah, hospitality industry. Like, massive.
And as we were saying, I mean, if Auburn takes care of business in the regional this weekend, they've got a super regional.
That's right.
Next week, that'll be leading almost right up to the Argentina-Iceland.
And Auburn will be hosting official visitors this weekend and the next 3 weekends afterwards. So it's going to be busy over there, too.
Wow.
Auburn might need to open up the dorms, let people crash in there for a couple of
probably, you know, for a fair price.
Yeah.
They could do that. That could help fill up some of the places here over the summer.
Always looking to make a buck over the athletic department.
I'm telling you. There could be some opportunities, some serious opportunities. All right, you mentioned
NIL hotel.
Right. Yeah, that's good. I like it. I like it. Brian, you mentioned official visits. Well, Auburn picks up another big, again, literally big commitment here over the Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, 9 commitments now. 3 of those are offensive linemen. Rance Brown from Brentwood Academy in Nashville is the latest. Mm-hmm. 6'5", 6'6", 290-plus, big kid. You know, a guy that's going to take a little time to develop, right? But he's an offensive tackle, potentially, or a big guard. And you can see that this staff is putting a lot of emphasis on the offensive line. You saw it in their work as soon as they arrived. They only had 3 linemen returning, so they went out and got a bunch in the 2026 class or 27
class.
Yeah,
it was six, I think, yeah. 6 linemen signed last year.
And then 9, I think it was, transfer offensive linemen. So, and I think now they're going to try to start building up from the bottom up, right, and not have to rely on so many transfers. And some of those transfers were young guys, too.
Yeah, I like it, guys with multiple years of eligibility there.
Yes.
So, so the offensive line, definitely a priority for Alex Golish, Tyler Hudanik, and this staff. And we'll see. I'm sure they'd like to add a couple more. But, I mean, they've added a couple of guys that that quite a few schools have been interested in. These aren't guys that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, well, I think Leighton Von Brandt, the big offensive tackle, is a top tackle in the country and a guy who could play fairly early during his career. We'll see. But definitely what you're looking for in a tackle, really quick or really powerful and has that aggressive streak on the field, which you absolutely love if you like watching the offensive line. And, you know, Donovan Moore, the defensive lineman, has been committed for a while. George Landman's a really good tight end. Kareem Palmer is a really, really talented, fast, quick linebacker who I think is going to play really early in his career. So, yeah, I'd like to have the classes coming together. I think they're about halfway done. They're at 9. I think it'll be 18 to 20. And there'll probably be a lot of recruiting news and commitments coming over the next 5 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, because, I mean, players like to, if they can, go ahead and have the decisions made before they get started with their practice and games get started.
Yeah, most of them will be going on official visits over the next 4 weekends. And then by the time we get to mid-June to mid-July, I think a lot of guys will start making those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I think watching how Alex Golish's class takes shape is interesting, not just because like it's about how Alex Golish is gonna build his roster, but also you want to see how things are different like post Hugh Freeze, like how this, you know, Hugh Freeze put such an emphasis on winning those recruiting battles for 5 stars and building a lot of the roster, especially certain positions that way. You know, I still expect Auburn to be able to recruit well. But how, you know, what's different, what stays the same? Feels like Alex Golish has, I mean, you see with the fact they're keeping Big Cat, he's embraced some of these traditions that you probably need to lean on in order to recruit well as Auburn head coach.
Yeah, and I think what we'll see is we'll see them that they signed, I think it was almost 40 transfers.
39, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll see them over the next 2 or 3 years. Lower the number of portals guys have.
You
to
hope,
sign.
Yeah. You hope you don't have to sign that
right.
many.
And,
every
increase
year.
The high school guys, and eventually get to a more balanced position where maybe you only have to sign 15 to 20 from the portal every year, or somewhere maybe less if it's possible.
Well, but, yeah, sure. I mean, you're hoping you're not have to turn over. You're not having to turn over half more of your roster every year, which. That's one of the goals is stability and continuity for them. So it'll be interesting to watch. But yes, official visits get started, and there'll be more news of that as well. Speaking of college football, Brendan Sorsby finishes his rehab, and the NCAA says, "Congratulations, you're ineligible."
Yeah.
So they've denied his request for reinstatement.
Oh, it's going to need to come through the courts if it happens, right? Yeah. I mean, and I still wonder. I mean, it would be.
I think this is going to be tougher for the court. I think it's going to be tougher to find just a judge that says,
"I agree."
Yes, it's okay. Considering gambling has been on the NCAA. I mean, it's not just NCAA. I mean, gambling's a no-no in sports. When someone is found to have gambled. They generally don't get to play again, at least immediately.
We find ourselves, at least it's interesting that we say this pretty often on the show, where it's like, if this challenge succeeds, it will change the rules of college athletics. Yeah. Like we're talking about it with Betty Ako. Mm-hmm. I think there's some of that going on with RJ Lewis, like at LSU now, where it's like, can a former G League signee come back to college basketball after going through that process? And I think with Sorsby, yeah, like can someone who is, you know, who was found to have violated those rules, can they, you know, continue their college athletics career in any meaningful way? And if not, and I know there's the question of the NBA too, but like, I'm with you, Bill. I don't see how, from what we know about the case, if he's allowed to play, it would blow a gigantic hole in the NCAA's ability to police whether or not players
gamble on their own team.
Players are allowed to gamble.
Which would be wild that would be surprising to me.
I mean, if anything, the Sorsby thing would make the NCAA, you'd think, it'd be like, okay, well, maybe they'll rethink how cozy the NCAA and their broadcast partners have gotten with sports books and gambling, resources. But I don't think that's going to change because the check's clear. Like, it's going to take nothing short of a court order to get gambling advertisements away from sports broadcasts and from college football games and things like that.
Yeah, so, I'm not sure their court's going to care about that.
But. Yeah, well, but it's certainly not going to be moral turpitude, right? It's certainly not going to be the NCAA deciding, that maybe they're on the wrong course, even as things like the Brandon Sorsby thing happen, and certainly doesn't feel like it's the last time something like this is going to happen in college athletics.
You feel like that genie's out of the box now. There's no putting it back in. So
yeah, I think so. All right, let's get to our first break here in hour number two. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get Brian to look back at his Monday musings.
Yeah.
We'd love for you to join us, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com. He met... What all's going on at auburnsports.com right now?
Well, I'm on the baseball beat for the moment and continue to blow that out. I think we'll talk to Butch again on Thursday before the regional gets underway, and I'll be there for all three games or however many games Auburn's involved there. Big recruiting weekend coming up, so we'll have tons of coverage of that. I know we've already had some stories up about that. Mm-hmm. And anything else that pops, of course, big weekend for golf too. Playing in the national championships.
So. Right, starting Friday.
Yep.
Jackson Koivin and company, as they've got a shot looking for their second national championship in 3 years. You were over there yesterday for the for the announcement about the seeding and the field, the regionals. Did Butch expect for Auburn to be a top four seed?
I think there was that expectation. Yeah, I think he understood that they were in a similar
position.
They should.
That's the thing. A lot of people were like worried about a loss here or a loss there. But I mean, when Auburn played a tougher schedule than they did the year before, and won as many conference games as they did the year before with tougher non-conference and a tougher conference schedule, so it shouldn't have been a shock that Auburn was the number four overall seed.
Yeah, and I think. If you listen to some of the commentary on SEC tournament baseball, sometimes those guys talk about, well, you know, this is a big win. This could move them up into such and such place.
Doesn't look like the SEC tournament meant much at all.
It hasn't. It doesn't usually. I think that's the same way with the SEC basketball tournament for the most part, unless you earn an automatic bid if you're not supposed to get one.
I mean, a lot of folks thought, well, Arkansas's earned a top, they've earned a host. And no, they came up short.
No, definitely not. And it's based on the full season, and that's just 3 or 4% of the season, right? So, or how many games you're there, it depends, I guess. But I felt like Auburn had locked up a top eight seed before that tournament started, and you know, nothing changed my mind there. And I'm not at all surprised they were fourth. I thought it would be between fourth and sixth because I thought this was a little bit stronger field than a year ago. But I think they're right where they belong.
Second, the second overall seed from the SEC.
Yeah, and what was explained to me was they do it by pods. So if you're in the top four, the bottom, I guess, what is it, 64 teams, right?
Yes.
So the 61 through 64 are sort of matched up for that fourth seed in that regional. So, and of course, they work in geography too. So, you know, mm-hmm. if there's a team closer to you.
That's why you've got a Milwaukee team that's, you know, 270-something in RPI, and it was 25 and 31 coming in. But as Andy mentioned, they won their last eight games to get to 25 and 31, so they're coming in. They're coming in feeling pretty good about themselves.
And they can swing the bat. So don't you know, if for some reason, you know, Jake Marciano doesn't have his stuff or whatever, whoever starts, I think it'll be Jake.
I think it will.
You know, they can score runs pretty quick.
There are some tickets, or at least there were some tickets. I don't know that they're still there. They went on sale yesterday at 1:30 for some of the extra seating that has been added over at Plainsman Park. Again, it's a noon first pitch, weather permitting, on Friday with Auburn and Milwaukee, then 5 o'clock with Central Florida and NC State. Let's see. Four other SEC teams are national seeds. Who in your opinion, Brian? I mean, has the toughest regional among the SEC? Seven SEC teams hosting regionals.
Well, State, which is not a high seed, right?
Right.
They've got Cincinnati, which came to Auburn and won.
Mm-hmm.
They've also got Louisiana, which is a really, really good team. So I think that's going to be a tough one for them. A&M got USC, which could make it interesting, and Texas State, which has been
SC, I believe, is the best two seed by RPI.
Okay. There you go.
So that's it. I mean, because some of the computer numbers for SC, like they've lost some games, but they were a team that was maybe on the fringe of a one seed. I think Gainesville looks like
maybe
I can't get past the names, but like the thought of putting
Miami and Troy
is a handful.
Yeah, I think Texas is in great shape. They've got UCSB, Tarleton State, and Holy Cross.
You would think.
I saw a lot of.
You'd think that should be a walkthrough.
And then, although we had a caller mention it just now, and when folks were projecting UCSB to different SEC regionals, including we saw them come up a lot as the potential two seed for Auburn.
They've got a first round pitcher.
Yeah, and we'll see if they use him in the opener, or if you try to save him thinking you might be facing the one seed in your second game. If you think you can beat a three seed without him, you know, it's a heck of a gamble, but we'll see but that's a problem they're gonna have to figure out. Who did Georgia draw?
They've got a pretty good draw. They've got let me see if I can pull it up real quick. They've got LIU. I don't know who
Long Island.
Yeah. BC,
the Sharks,
Boston College, and Liberty.
Okay.
So you feel like
they don't have a lot of teams that are going to bring a lot of fans,
right? And they've got a ballpark that's built for their team.
Oh, absolutely!
If they don't hit 7-8 plus home runs in that three games or more, I'd be surprised. I'd be very surprised if they don't go all the way. I know this is not SEC, but Florida State has a really tough regional with St. John's there, Coastal Carolina, NIU. That's going to be interesting. Of course, Auburn's been to Florida State a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I know UCLA is a great team. I wish an SEC team would have been sit there. They got St. Mary's, Cal Poly. So you figure they're going to probably roll right to the Super Regional where they would face the winner of the West Virginia Regional, which, again, is not really a tough one to me necessarily. It should be competitive. They got Wake Forest and Kentucky with West Virginia in there. So that could be an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, who knows who wins that one. Kentucky's the team. Kentucky's the team that some people were wondering if they might not make the field of 64, but they did get in.
And then Oklahoma's going to Georgia Tech, and Oklahoma has a really good starter. They play really, really good defense, so maybe they'll have a shot there. I don't think they're a team that can win a bunch of games, right? I mean, maybe beat Georgia Tech once if they get a good pitch performance, but it's going to be tough to beat that team because Georgia Tech is really, really good, and
they
can really swing the bat.
So Auburn is selling all session. The all session general admission tickets are still available.
Okay, good.
Reserve seating is sold out.
Right.
But auburntigers.com, you go to the ticket website, they've got all session, I think $90 all
general admission all session.
$90 general admission all session tickets to get you all the baseball all weekend long. They got regional club some of that too, where it's like, yeah, I think is that
that's an add on.
Yeah, you get the ticket and then you can also
have a ticket to get in, but you can get in.
And they're selling some regional all session parking as well. So some tickets to the general admission areas still available.
Yeah, so hopefully I'm sure they'll all sell, but I mean that way you know that if you want to go ahead and get some tickets, you can right now. Tell you what, let's get to our bottom of the hour break, and then we'll get into Brian's musings from yesterday. Always fun, we never know what direction, what style, what genre, what era of music.
Definitely a new genre.
Musings. Oh, okay.
Different genre today.
A different genre today.
And we're used to it.
Yep. We'll hear about that when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
4321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon, 25 minutes away from 6 o'clock. Brian Matthews, who's usually with us on Mondays, but of course yesterday was Memorial Day, so Brian gracious enough to come in today, but we couldn't let Brian come in without, you know, getting to know about this week's musings. Now, Brian does athletics musings and then musical musings. What were the athletics musings this week?
I wrote about baseball, talked about the hitting and how it can just take one little step forward. It can make a big difference. They've had 14 of the losses. Auburn scored three or less runs. Mm-hmm. So that's an area where they just need to step up and be a little bit more clutch.
My goodness, I didn't realize it was that many. And I know Butch has talked about six being the number. So actually four or five would really help out in those. It's hard to believe because what's Auburn lot? What they?
I think the other way is you look at it, the opponent scoring three runs or less, Auburn's
right,
still losing. I went the other way with Auburn scoring three runs or less. They've lost 14 times. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like if they can just find a way to average a couple more runs.
Yeah, if they get five, get to five, they're in really good shape because the odds are they're not going to give up five.
Yep, and they can do some more to generate offense too, right? I think they can play a little bit more small ball, this team can. So we'll see how that goes. I think there's some things they're working on. Also wrote about the ABS system, which I like.
Like it in Hoover?
But I did not like what they did at Hoover because
it was expanded.
It's expanded, and if you're going to bring this to college baseball, you are training these kids to play Major League Baseball. This is now the number one way of going to major leagues, is going to college. Now it puts more players in major leagues.
Well, you're also you have one strike zone all year long,
right,
and then for a week you change it,
right,
and now you're going back.
Right. So if they're
going to
have ABS, which I'm all for,
I'm for it. Yes.
Line up.
I want a strike to be a strike, though.
Directly with the major league strike zone, so these kids are being trained on it, the pitchers and the hitters and the catchers.
Although I will say the catchers were pretty good.
Yeah, they were.
At knowing what was going to be a ball or a strike by ABS.
And I think Chase was maybe celebrating his correct calls there in the end more than the win.
Well, it was a struggle for him there early on because he got a few called against him while he was
really
batting.
Really close. Yeah, really close. So, but yeah, and then so our musical musings, y'all going to get this before I even finish my sentence. Okay, I think all three of y'all could get this. Okay, we're going back 49 years. That's 1977.
77?
Okay. I think that's right, if I'm math right.
Yeah,
okay.
77.
To the release of a movie that had a score from a legendary...
John Williams?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Star Wars.
Poser. Yes, yes.
I think when you go 77 movie,
yeah,
I think I immediately go to either Star Wars or Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
It's probably going to be the answer, right? Like those
yes.
are your two musical 1977
monsters.
Yeah, your two 1977 films. Continue though. What were you going to say about
that's
George Lucas George Lucas film?
Yep. Won an Academy Award, Golden Globe, and Grammy Award
for the music.
Yes.
Oh wow. Okay.
And the main theme of it reached number 10 on the Billboard 100. So just an incredible...
Yeah, the John Williams version.
Yes.
Yes.
And
then the disco score a couple years later, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nico.
From Stars on 45.
Yeah, that reached number one. Yes. And it's been named the greatest film score of all time by the American Film Institute.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
So, and it was performed by the London Symphony Orchestra, recorded over eight different sessions.
Mm-hmm.
and released the soundtrack was released the same day as the film on May 25th.
Now, Bill was doing the Cantina song.
Yes,
there.
That's right.
I think that people might be thinking of the opening theme.
That's just as we go along.
Yes. You know, it's, oh, the Mos Eisley Cantina theme is fantastic. That's a great little piece of music.
And I learned a new word that I did not know, and I may not pronounce it right, but this is hailed as reviving the orchestral scores from Hollywood's golden age using the leitmotif.
Yeah,
which is when you have a different score for a different character
yeah.
place, mm-hmm. or concept.
Right.
Which yeah, when music plays and it's like the individual character's theme,
right.
or something like the Vader,
right.
you know, Lord
yes,
Vader's,
Imperial,
it's
right.
a,
yes.
yeah, leitmotif. Yeah,
yep. So, but yeah, I wrote a little bit about that, and then I wrote about John Williams, who's had an incredible life, still going strong, by the way. Came from a musical family, was in the Air Force, played for an Air Force band, and then. Has been involved in films going all the way back to 1961's Breakfast at Tiffany's, when he was working on the score for another composer.
Wow. I didn't realize his career went that far back.
Yeah, he was doing B-movies in the 60s, and one of them was on Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's just very weird to see,
wow.
like music by John Williams in this, like, terrible, like, like, greaser, like, biker drama or something like that. But, yeah, he was working his way through the bottom of the industry.
Worked his
way up. And, I mean, Jaws is a couple years before Star Wars, right? So he's doing the Jaws theme, right?
Yes.
And then, it's
1975, Jaws, Close Encounters, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Close Encounters,
E.T.,
yeah.
Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, which is incredible. Saving Private Ryan, The Patriot, Harry Potter, Munich, Lincoln. And he has one coming up here in just a few weeks, I think, Disclosure Day. Mm-hmm. Another Steven Spielberg. A lot of his work was with George Lucas or Steven Spielberg. A whole bunch of his scores have been with their films.
That's not a bad couple of guys.
Another
to
thing that's
get,
incredible
you know,
is
with.
He has won 27 Grammys,
mm-hmm.
and his 54 Academy Award nominations are the second most behind. Can you guess who has the most Academy Award
Ooh.
Nominations? It's not
more
an
than more than
is
54?
It music? Is it like is it a? Like
it is not an actor. Somebody you would say was like a
Walt
founder
Disney?
Of a
yeah,
studio.
Walt Disney.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. Walt
okay.
Disney.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep, that's pretty cool.
That's very impressive. Always cool. Yeah, Brian. I mean, just the different directions that Brian will go. You just what do? You just sort of look at a calendar and start figuring out what happened.
Try to find something on that day. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was this the release of Star Wars is the anniversary? Or?
This is the anniversary of the release of the soundtrack and the movie.
Okay.
Golf.
Yeah.
Yeah. May 25th.
How big of a deal? I guess I'll defer to you guys on this. Like when it was coming out, could you tell it was going to be a big deal? Like,
oh,
like
yes.
the build up to Star Wars,
oh, yes.
like it was going to be a.
Oh,
this is right in my.
It was being built up as the greatest science fiction movie ever.
There's no toys I played with more when I was a kid than the little Star
Although,
Wars.
Although I will say
no.
this,
and Lucas had already made American Graffiti.
Yes.
So there's buzz coming off of.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Okay. He's.
Oh, yeah.
He's made this cool movie already, and now he's making a sci-fi. Okay.
Something I have to admit though I. It wasn't what I expected.
Well, because you're a sci-fi guy.
Yeah, yeah, and I went in expecting sci-fi.
This is like a sci-fi.
And it was
like
an adventure.
Well, it's like
it was a space adventure.
Yeah, it's like a space opera western.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like it's a big.
I mean, it's really, really, it was really cool. But I was.
You're more of a 2001 guy.
Yeah, I was like, I'm looking for some, you know, hidden meaning and things like that. I'm, you know, more Orwellian. It's like, but after I got over that, then I really.
And you got Alien in a couple of years,
oh, yeah.
right? Which
yeah,
is
that's
also
right.
it's a little bit more, a little bit more for grown-ups, I suppose, than the original Star Wars film. But
it's
like
amazing
also,
how well some of those films late 70s are still like
hold up.
Yes,
yeah,
very
you're right.
Well. Yes.
Some
people would say
you go back a few years before that, and it's like, no, it's a joke. Watch them.
Some people would say that they look better than some of the stuff that's.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the CGI stuff, yeah,
yeah.
absolutely.
I mean, yeah. Lighting and practical effects. I mean, it's a miracle. Yep.
Really is. All right, we're a little early, but we'll go ahead and get to our final break. A reminder. Let's see. We'll announce the winner of the pair of tickets to the Argentina-Iceland match, and we'll be giving away tickets every day this week. So for the remainder of the week, each day we'll have another pair of tickets. They're doing it on the line as well. So both shows giving away a pair of tickets here for the rest of the week. We'll get to our final break here of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us, 334-321-1390 here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Mountain High Outfitters is celebrating 10 amazing years on South College Street in Auburn. Whether you're looking for some new...
Welcome back in. Final segment here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews. Jake's going to join us later this week.
I think we're going to get him on Friday. So we will push our usual chat with Jake Crane from Crane and Cone to college baseball to break down with Jake as we should have.
Hopefully the game, if it goes off as scheduled, Auburn should be, that game should have been done before we come on the air at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, especially hour number two of the Friday show.
But
weather could impact that a little bit.
I mean, it was quite a problem up in Hoover. Brian, you're up there. I mean, it wasn't raining much here. It rained a couple of places on your side of town.
Yes.
A couple of times on your side of town. Didn't rain much, south of the interstate.
Yeah, we had about, 2 hours and 15 minutes during the Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Was it Arkansas? Yeah, it was Arkansas.
That was the one where, Alex Petrovic was really pitching well.
Went four.
And he goes four, and then 2 hours later, you then have to go to Ryan Hetzler. Right,
who pitched great. Two runs in five innings is more than...
More innings, more pitches than he had thrown all year.
Yeah, and you feel like Auburn now has three relievers in Jackson Sanders, L.J. Cormier, and Hetzler that can go four or five innings if you need them to.
And L.J. was outstanding.
He's been terrific.
He was outstanding. He's had a tremendous freshman year. And again, we talked about it last week. Just ridiculous. That he didn't make the all-freshman team.
And I think he'll probably be a starter next year, would be my guess, along with Andre and Jake. So we'll see. There's a long way to go for that. Don't even worry about that.
Well, the thing is, all the guys were sophomores this year.
Yeah. Petro's a junior, and we'll be going to the draft.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking he was a third-year sophomore. He's draft eligible. Yeah. I knew that, though.
Yeah. There's the potential for a lot of this team to be back. Team that achieved the way they did this year and for that matter last year. Auburn is the only team.
Guevara and Rembert in the lineup, basically. And I guess Bristol Carter maybe. And then pitching wise, just Petro and I guess Hetzler. And maybe a couple more. I think Drew Whalen will probably go in the draft because he's had Tommy John surgery. So. A lot of players, when this happens, they just go ahead and go and rehab with their major league team or minor league team, whatever it is.
Auburn, the only team that was one of the top four seeds last year that is back as one of the top four seeds this year. And the thought that...
They have so much...
Exactly.
Who could come back next year.
They really could. They really could. And they've got another good draft class coming in. They may lose one of them, one of the high-profile kids, but most of them will be here. And I'm sure they will go out and try to fill any big holes they have in the portal, which will get going, I think, in another couple of weeks, maybe. I have to look and see, but it's pretty soon.
Yeah, it is. And that's one of the areas where as you were talking earlier. And when we were talking with Andy, the fact that now Auburn is playing much more on an even playing field now that you don't have the Hope Scholarship or the states that have lotteries able to give full scholarships to players. Now that you can give full scholarships to baseball, you see Auburn and Alabama.
Yes.
Much more competitive with their rosters.
Absolutely. It made a big difference. Vanderbilt private school was able to give full scholarships to players, gave them a big advantage. Schools like Mississippi State, Georgia, some others, Florida. LSU, I think.
Well, the SEC is just going to be this knife fight now on in college baseball. Because you look at the teams that didn't make the NCAA tournament, right? And it's like, look, Missouri's got decisions to make, and it's going to be tough for them to get out of the situation they're in. But, South Carolina, a lot of people think they're going to hire the Coastal coach. They should be back soon. Mm-hmm. LSU's not going to stay down for long.
No, LSU and Vandy had – Vandy and LSU were two of the three longest running streaks of appearances in a tournament, and they're out this year.
You want to avoid the conversation of when you're not in the boat of teams that seemingly have everything going well. And in the SEC right now, you're talking about a bunch of those teams. Auburn just sent out the email. Fewer than 750 all-session general admission tickets remain.
Wow.
Fewer than 200 all-session outfield GA tickets out there, and fewer than 200 student outfield GA tickets remain. That was as of a couple of hours ago. So
that's fewer. That's a total of less than 1,000 tickets available. Period.
They're moving on. Before we do the drawing for the tickets, you want to let folks let Brian tell folks about all the work they're doing at the website.
Yes.
All the work you're doing at the website before the show ends.
Plenty of coverage of baseball this week. Recruiting coming up, a big recruiting weekend for Auburn. Golf, of course, playing for national championship. All that more at auburnsports.com. You can follow me on Twitter /X at BMATAU.
One other note before we get to that. We saw this a little while ago. Former Atlanta Braves third baseman Bob Horner passing away at the age of 68. It's been tough. Yeah, we were talking about it during the break. I mean, quite a few very notable names in Braves baseball history have passed here recently.
Yeah.
With Ted Turner, Bobby Cox, now Bob Horner.
Yep, I love those teams. I grew up watching those guys.
There were some struggles back then.
There were, but
you could sit wherever you wanted.
Yep. Fulton County Stadium.
Not my favorite Braves uniforms of all time, but
the baby blues.
Yeah, a lot of the uniforms from back then.
I would buy a baby blue with Murphy on the back for sure.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
Some younger Braves fans aren't going to like hearing this. I like the blues a lot more than the Reds. The red jerseys have really never done much for me. They're a little garish.
I don't know the way they were. I don't know, just the way they sort of look. Just you can tell they're real dated. Yeah. I mean, that's all. But some of that stuff's cool when you do throwbacks. But Bob Horner, one of the few guys. We were looking it up. I think only 24 players have made the jump from amateur ball to the major leagues without stopping off in the minors, and Horner was one of those guys.
And here's the crazy thing. I probably name almost every position player and pitcher on that team, and I could not do that with the current Braves team. It's just the way it is, I guess. I don't know. Boy, my memory works for other people.
Well, a lot of folks. I'll tell you, the older you get, sometimes the long-term memory is fine. Yeah. Short-term doesn't work as well. Yeah. All right, we'll go ahead and draw for the winner of the our first pair of tickets to the Argentina-Iceland match. And again, we will have more tickets tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday that we will give away. We may draw for them. We may do some, next caller or, pick a number and that caller will win the tickets. But today's winner is Tracy.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Enjoy, man. These there aren't many of those tickets left either. I looked today. And there are a few tickets, not many of them in the lower level at all. Most of the tickets that are left there at Jordan-Hare Stadium are in the upper deck. So congratulations, Tracy. And we'll give away another pair tomorrow. Now, tomorrow's Wednesday. I'm thinking, all right, Brian's here. Tomorrow's Tuesday. No, yeah. Tomorrow's Wednesday. That means we should have Jason on.
Jason, awesome. and I think we may even have a little Adam Cole in hour number two. So
those it's pretty much the guys who are in Hoover.
Yes.
covering Auburn baseball.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. So Brian, thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I always enjoy it.
Oh yeah, and looking forward to everything that you guys have all week. I just was looking at the site a little bit ago and saw Jay's got a column on Alex Golish and some of his plans.
Comments that he made at Destin today. Absolutely, yes.
That's right. It's SEC meetings.
Yes. It's his first Destin,
Yeah, that's right. So
nothing's really happened so far, I would say, that's newsworthy.
Well,
it's just a bunch of talk mostly.
I feel like there will be a little more just because of, the situation that we're in right now with college football.
Yeah. There needs to be. There needs to be, but I don't know if they can.
I hope so.
We'll see.
Well, yep. So that's something else we'll be talking about as well. But, again, our thanks to Brian for being with us here today. Yes, Jason Caldwell, Adam Cole should join us. Hopefully you will as well tomorrow, as we'll give you another opportunity to win some tickets to the Argentina-Iceland match, which is just 2 weeks away. So we're winding things down. Just about done here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive.
Of course, don't forget you can catch Auburn Sports Network coverage of all the baseball this weekend on Wings 94.3. Andy and the gang will have that for you.
If you
missed any of Andy in hour number one, check out the podcast, ESPNAU.com, or search for your favorite podcasting platform for The Drive with Bill Cameron.
So that will do it for the Tuesday edition of The Drive. We're back with you tomorrow. Looks like the rain is actually slowed, almost stopped here, but there's going to be more of it here this week. So we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.